pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It is National High Five Day, Tony. Do you still high five?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Do I? Let's go, boys!
All right, let's go!
Yeah! 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 How great is this? How great is that? How great is that?
It looks so stupid.
Now, I gotta tell you, the only consequence is this.
What?
Is that I've got Purell in my hand.
Good.
And I'm putting it on because I don't know these people.
I was gonna say, get the Purell, you know, big boy.
God only knows what they're carrying.
Let's keep
it
clean.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Steelers take action. Kevin Durant feels insulted, and John Calipari says he is not a one-and-done coach. But we begin today with Ben Roethlisberger facing suspension. Art Rooney II, president of the Steelers, said at a press conference today that the Steelers intend to discipline Roethlisberger and coordinate that discipline with the league so there will be one consistent punishment. Rooney said Roethlisberger will accept the punishment. Mike, at one point you thought if Roethlisberger were not charged, there would be no punishment. So are you surprised that the Steelers are taking this so seriously?
No, Tony, I didn't think there would be no punishment. I said there should be no punishment. I think there will be punishment. And, you know, everybody you talk to in and around league circles says there will be punishment, and there clearly will be. And I'm not surprised the Steelers are taking this seriously. The Steelers are at one end of the personal conduct meter and say the Raiders at another. If the Raiders were taking this seriously, given their history of rebellion, then I would be surprised, but not the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Rooney family.
Well, I saw this coming. I mean, and I think I saw it coming most clearly when that district attorney kept referring to the accuser as the victim. And I think, and we've talked about this as well, the racial politics in the NFL. You can't have one standard for a black cornerback and one standard for a white quarterback. So, I think we could both agree as to the antecedents of this and why it was going to happen. What I'm wondering about is when and if Ben Roethlisberger comes back, and who knows, the Steelers may even trade him, but when and if he comes back, how's he going to feel about the team that does this to him in a very short amount of time?
See,
the two heroes of that Super Bowl, one is gone, Santonio Holmes, and one is on the shelf.
See, Tony, this is my point. I thought that the league would do this, and the Steelers, while feeling the same way and being supportive of whatever league decision was made,
right,
the club could have stayed out of it so as to preserve the relationship as best as possible. I didn't think the club needed to get involved, but here's where we got, again, the Rooney family. They do things a different way. They want you to behave a certain way or get out, and they're less concerned with that than they are the way they conduct
business. There's already talk out there, there's trade talk, that you could trade Roethlisberger to the Rams for the number one pick. Which
don't believe it.
Do you believe Ben Roethlisberger will quarterback the Steelers this coming season?
Yes, I do. I do, absolutely, Tony. And the great majority of the games. Moving to the NBA, Kevin Durant has taken exception to Phil Jackson's comments on how much the Oklahoma City star gets to the foul line. Durant said he is not babied by the refs and said Jackson's comments were disrespectful and that it'll have no impact on the way the refs call the game or the series. Tony, Durant is new to the Phil game. How do you think the kid's handling himself so far?
I think he put his hand out and he took the bait and boom, he's going to get yanked up in the air. He's going to panic as a result of this. He's going to look at Phil every time he scores a basket. He's going to be out of his own rhythm. And Phil today is laughing hysterically.
This is just what Phil wanted.
It's exactly. It couldn't work out any better for Phil Jackson.
No. And young players do this. And so do young coaches. I remember early in Van Gundy's career, Phil got, you know, let Jeff get all wound up, you know, in a little tornado. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Not that Phil Jackson's undefeated, but he's wearing more jewelry than anybody, okay? And he wins these mind games and these psychological battles that he sets up, and he does it with his own players first, and then spreads out from there. Phil is a genius. He is underestimated. He is underrated as a coach.
It's hard to underrate a guy who's got 10 championships.
He still is, Tony.
But you talked about young coaches. Oklahoma City has a fairly young coach in Scott Brooks.
Scotty Brooks.
He needs to go to Kevin Durant and say the following words. Forget this.
Yeah.
Do not play for him. Pay no attention to the large man on the high stool. Pay no attention.
He should just
can only hurt
say,
you.
Kevin, from now on with Phil, here's our policy. Official team, all of you kiddies.
That's right. Matt Bradley of the Washington Capitals said the following on a Washington radio show today, and I quote, if we don't win the Stanley Cup, then it was an unsuccessful season. It's a failure, unquote. Wilbon, do you agree?
No. And I don't, but I understand why players feel this way. You know you've got the goods at a certain time. And you know the window doesn't stay open forever in professional sports. I understand completely why a player would say this and want his team to rally around those words and provide extra sort of sense of urgency. But wow, the Capitals are not far enough down the road yet, Tony. The window's still opening. I think this is a little overreaction.
The Capitals have been in business for, I believe, 37 seasons. And one time only, did they reach the Stanley Cup Finals. If they were to even reach the Stanley Cup Finals again, to me, that would be successful. If you go to Peyton Manning right now and you say, was that a successful season? He'll tell you no. If you go to Colt McCoy, Texas loses to Alabama. Texas had a great season. Was that a successful season? He will tell you no. This is standard operating procedure to say these things.
So let's go back to Peyton Manning, though, because I think that's a really good analogy. The problem is Peyton wouldn't have said that his, like, second or third year in the playoffs. And that's where Ovechkin's Capitals are now. I know they ran away with the point lead in the NHL this year. I get that. They're the number one seed in the East. But so was Indianapolis. And at that point, it wasn't a failure. I think you have to climb that mountain a few more times, usually, even though Mr. Crosby, their rival, did not. On the day that Kentucky basketball received commitments from the top high school recruit in 2010 and the top recruit in 2011, Coach John Calipari took exception to the notion that he recruits only one-and-done players. Now, Cal points out his roster is full of kids who stay 3, even 4 years. But the fact is, Derrick Rose and Tyreke Evans were one-and-dones, with John Wall likely to follow. So, Tony, should Calipari even consider this observation some kind of insult?
It is meant as an insult. I think it's a straw man argument. He's paid to win basketball games, and he goes out and he recruits the best basketball players he can towards that goal.
That's right.
If they leave after 1 year because they're not allowed to leave before they enter college, I don't think he should be held responsible for that. He had a pretty good year this year. He had some pretty good years at Memphis. He may have 3 rookies of the year in the NBA.
In a row,
back-to-back-to-back. So to me, ask the Kentucky people this. Do they want what Billy Gillespie gave them? Do they want that?
Not.
No,
apparently
I think they want what Calipari's giving them.
Yeah, I mean, Cal's job, especially at Kentucky, it's not to build a winner. It is to have a winner.
That's right.
Every single year, okay? Because we know what happens in Kentucky the moment they lose a game. They're all just weeping for weeks. So Cal has to get the best players he can get at the time. Now, if the NBA acts in a way that I think the league will act, this will become two and done.
Well, that's not up to Coach Cal. To coach, and Cal would love to coach Duke's team that was a veteran team.
But if he would coach his own team.
What I'm saying is people with juniors and seniors.
Okay,
but if you leave after 1 year because you're eligible and you're good enough, it's hard to punish him for that when they ask him to win games.
He shouldn't be criticized. He really shouldn't.
We move now to championship rings. The Yankees' C.C. Sabathia says he will not wear his because to do so is, quote, corny, unquote. Alex Rodriguez, not buying any of that. He says, quote, well, I call BS on that. I'm going to wear it and wear it every day, unquote. Wilbon, wearing your championship ring everywhere, cool or corny?
If it's not so big that you need, a crane to sort of lift it, and some of these championship rings are, if you can wear it around, I mean, I would not wear it. I'm with Sabathia on this, but I think it's cool. First of all, you're Alex Rodriguez. You can wear the ring. You earn the ring. Any of those guys on any championship team, not just the Yankees.
Yeah.
I would not wear it around because most of them, Tony, as you know, you've seen championship rings.
They're big.
They're so enormous. It's not practical. You can't even pick up a fork.
But I will tell you
while
this:
wearing the ring.
If we ever win an Emmy, I'm going to keep it in the trunk of my car. And every time I stop for a light, I'm going to run him back and hold it up so people can see.
I don't doubt that.
And I understand this about Alex Rodriguez because the knock against him for years was you can't win a championship. You're not good enough. You're terrible in October. You're terrible in September. Well, he's earned this. If he wants to wear it everywhere, if he wants to wear it to Cameron Diaz's house, that's fine with me. Sabathia didn't have that knock. He took the Brewers right to the playoffs on his back.
Sabathia is an understated guy, and I understand that's his personality, but if A-Rod wants to wear it, great.
Let him do it. Let's take a break. But coming up, Chauncey Billups on the Nuggets without George Karl.
And can my Chicago Bulls give the Cavaliers a series?
These guys in here slap.
Get get the latest soccer news both on and off the field with the SoccerNet podcast. Download it now at the iTunes Music Store and at Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.
The Nuggets face the Jazz in the first round of the playoffs, and they will do it without head coach George Karl, who is undergoing treatment for cancer. We welcome back Nuggets point guard Chauncey Billups, and let's start with this. How's George Karl doing?
Well, he's doing better. He's doing better. I got a chance to see him last week. Spent a little time with him at his house, and it was tough seeing him like that, but at the same time, I hadn't seen him in so long or spoken to him, so he's doing a lot better, and that makes us feel good.
Chauncey, there was a stage at which you guys lost 4 or 5 and really struggled like you had not struggled all season. Mm-hmm. How much of that really does pertain to not having George and his unique method on the sideline and, mm-hmm. and in that locker room with you?
Well, I mean, like I was saying this a couple of days ago, I think, you know, when you get those games on the road, when, you know, you lose by 2 or 3, 4 points, or you lose last minute of the game, those are coaches' wins. I've always felt like those are coaches' wins. The players, you know, Melo or JR or Kenyon, they're going to make the shots for us. But those are coaches' wins, you know, and I think that, you know, you can always see how much we miss George when we get in situations like that.
You said you went to his house to see him. What'd you do at the house? What were his spirits like? What were you guys doing?
His spirits were good, actually. We actually watched the national championship game, which Duke was in it, and they won. So, of course, he wasn't too happy about that. But I think he was just happy to kind of see me and catch back up on everything.
There can't be a Carolina grad in the world that was happy to see Duke win that game.
Yeah, he was. I told you, he kept switching back from the game to 24. I said, Coach, I'm not going to watch 24 with you, man. We got to watch the game.
Let's talk about your role in this, Chauncey, because the other night when you guys were out here in Arizona playing the Suns, Adrian Dantley was one of several people that told me, Chauncey's had to be loaded up with responsibility, and you have now become, whether you wanted to or not, sort of like a player assistant coach. And Adrian Dantley, your interim coach, has been relying heavily on you. How difficult is that for you as a player?
You know, it's very difficult because on one hand, I've always been, you know, that leader on the floor, that coach on the floor, but I haven't really had to put this much on my plate. And honestly, it's bogging me down. Sometimes I go home or I leave a game very mentally just beat up, you know, just worrying about everything that's going on with the team. Physically, my body's fine. I feel good. But there's been some times where mentally I just kind of got overwhelmed a little bit. So it's a new thing, but, you know, for me, anything I can do to help the team win, I'm all for it. I'm do the best I can.
One thing that might be a little bit under the radar, except there in your clubhouse, is that Kobe Karl, George's son, has just recently returned to the team. Mm-hmm. What is it like? What impact is there for Kobe to be around you guys? Obviously, Chauncey, you've known him for a long time, but what's it like to have him around?
You know what? Actually, it's pretty cool, man, to have Kobe around and you know, one thing about it is there's nobody in our locker room now that knows George Karl more than Kobe. And our coaches really know him well. I know him pretty good. But, you know, even there's been a time in the Phoenix game the other day in halftime I was talking to him and I was saying, you know, what you see out there, what you think, you know, just things like that, because I know he's going to be speaking from probably his dad's perspective. So it's pretty cool having him around.
I heard you say that you feel that there's more on your plate than there's ever been before, and everybody knows that in your position it's to make sure that the team is functioning well. You guys knew that George was going to miss some games. I'm wondering, did you think that, okay, he's going to miss some games, but we're players, we can get through it anyway? In other words, did you expect there to be some sort of drop-off, the kind you're alluding to?
Well, I didn't expect it. And on the only reason I say that, not because I didn't think George was, you know, this great coach, because I always respected George even when I didn't play for him, but I felt like maybe he wouldn't be gone as long, and maybe we'd be able to keep the ship sailing, you know, pretty gracefully for that period of time. But, you know, the time has been extended, and none of us thought that it would be this long without coach. And, it gets tougher all the time.
Well, then let's look forward, because now you're in the playoffs, and if you mm-hmm. lose a series, you're done for the year. Mm-hmm. And with all of this weighing on everybody, realistically, Chauncey, what are the expectations for this team?
Oh, man, we feel good. We feel good. I think, you know, one of the big things for us, Tony, is having Kenyon back. And he's not 100%, but just his presence out there is something that we miss tremendously. the last month, the last 5-6 weeks. So having him back, his defensive prowess and him being able to rebound the ball, I think is going to be huge for us. So we feel great, man. We feel good. We feel like it's going to be a tough series with us in Utah, but if we play the right way, we can come out of that.
Well, thank you so much for joining
us,
Chauncey, and best of luck.
Good
Give
luck.
Best
Appreciate
to George.
It.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Let's break, but coming up, should Butler star Gordon Hayward stay in the draft?
What are the chances Larry King finds the altar for a ninth time?
Ninth. It's got a good ring to it, doesn't it?
You know, for most people, once is a little scary.
Yeah, but nine, you're conditioned to it.
He's a veteran. He's a vet.
It's easy.
He's been there.
Yes.
Been there.
Knows how to do it. Knows
the rhythm. Battle scarred.
Racing fans, get the latest news from NASCAR from the J-Ski Podcast featuring Mark Garrow. Download for free at iTunes or on the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com.
It is time to play the percentages and odds makers, so let's get the first one from our host, Anthony Joseph Maxim Schmerkovsky Reale.
First, the chances the Bulls push the Cavs.
I think the Cavs are flawed. I think when anything goes bad, they go to LeBron all the time. I don't think they have anybody else on the team that wins games. I think it'll hurt them down the road. But to push them means the Bulls have to go 2-2 or 3-3. I'd give that a pretty low number, 25%.
That's a high number, Tony. I mean, when you've got aspirations and you think it's your year, and the Cavaliers have every reason to think this is their year, okay? They go into this playoff with guys who have been all-stars and future Hall of Famers. I understand not all of them are at that peak right now.
Right.
But the Chicago Bulls are minus 40 points a game scoring Ben Gordon and John Salmons from last year's team that was so exciting. It's only a 10% chance. You're a number one seed. You should sweep the first round, 10%.
Next,
the chances the Senators upset the Penguins.
Well, they've already got one, don't they? And they've already got it on Pittsburgh's ice. And the Pittsburgh goalie, Marc-Andre Fleury, was very, very shaky during this game. But there is a huge difference between winning one and winning four. I believe the Penguins will win the series, so I will go the same number I went before, 25%.
I'm going to go much greater percent chance, because in hockey, Tony, the seeding means nothing. It's all about the goaltender.
So only in basketball.
Marc-Andre Fleury. Yeah,
okay.
Right. I think you agree with that. Only Marc-Andre Fleury, I mean, he's got to get better. Doesn't matter how good the rest of your team is, if your goaltender's letting in goals like he did last night,
right,
you're going to lose. I'm going to say there's a 40% chance Ottawa wins this series.
So
yes.
Then we're sort of tied up because 25 and 25 is 50 and 40 and 10 is 50. Next.
If you're scoring at home. Next, yeah. The chances Gordon Hayward goes pro this year.
I'm not sure about this year. He's got an NBA shot. He's got NBA lift. But when he put the ball behind his back a few times to get to the basket, he didn't actually get to the basket. He'd be better served by staying one more year in college. The downside is, what if they change the rules and it costs some money? I'll go as high as 55%.
Tony, it's interesting you bring up the rules and costing money. That's a very real possibility. Here's the other one. Kids now are so worried about having their flaws discovered by, you know, prying scouts. If they come back, that everybody's in their ear telling them, no, you're at your max value. Now, of course he needs to go back, but most kids do too. I'm going to say there is a 60% chance he'll go
so
now.
So he went up a little of
him. I'd love to see him come back.
Next.
Got skills.
All right, next one. Chances Larry King marries again.
Right, now, Larry has been married 8 times to 7 different women. He's in the prime of his marrying career. If he marries the sister, they get to keep the initials on the towels. I actually think he should marry Liz Taylor, because that gets her up into double figures and gives him enormous street cred with the over 70 crowd. So I will go as high as 65% for my friend Larry King.
He's got to. I mean, what do guys do if they don't have a wife of that generation? And Larry is what, almost 80 years old, about 80 years old?
76.
He got to have a wife. Is Larry going to go to the grocery store? Is he going to do the dry cleaning?
No.
Guys of that generation expect that. A woman, sadly,
a wife, sadly,
they expect to do that. That generation.
Okay.
My father's in that generation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? There's a 99% chance that Larry's going to get married again, and we all know that.
Wrap up.
Let's look at the numbers. We were scoring at home, And over here, this looks like 170 for TK.
Well, he just
over
gave
here, this is a much bigger number
yes.
for Wilbon, 200 and plus whatever. I can't do the math. Wilbon's your winner.
Completely ridiculous.
On the road, too.
Oddsmakers 100% over. Yeah, you like Ottawa. Let's take one more break. But still to come, Steph Curry makes one last argument for Rookie of the Year.
It was an eloquent argument, too. And T-Mac contemplates retirement. Too soon, Tony?
Well, he's got to get to the second round first.
Too soon?
Not even in the first round this year.
Not too soon.
Too soon?
No. Just right. Snappy time, people. Happy 28th birthday, Seth Rogen. Boy, he can play older than 28. Rogen, very funny in such movies as Knocked Up, Pineapple Express, and Zack and Miri Make a Porno. He's apparently going to play the Green Hornet, lose a bunch of weight for it. Wilbon, are you familiar with Mr. Rogen's oeuvre?
In Knocked Up, but, I mean, a girl like Katherine Heigl, is she going to fall for him in real life? What's it going to take?
We hope so. It helps the rest of us. Happy anniversary, Jackie Robinson. On this day, 63 years ago, Robinson broke baseball's color barrier. In honor of Robinson, every major leaguer will wear number 42 today. And in terms of sports moving the culture forward, it is hard to think there was a more important day in American history.
Tony, there really couldn't have been. It was just one of the most important days in American history, inside or outside of sports.
Happy trails, Eddie Jordan. Jordan was fired today after 1 year as coach of the Sixers. Eddie Jordan is a friend of ours. We know he can find good use for the $6 million owed to him, but Rutgers University would be wise to reach out to his famous alum, Eddie Jordan, and ask him to take over the sagging Scarlet Knights program.
Tony, that's not a good idea. That's a great idea, even though it would cut into our chances to play golf with Eddie back in Washington. Rutgers. Rutgers should be calling him right now.
Time to find out we messed up. Reality.
35 seasons for the Capitals and Tigers' next tournament, Quail Hollow in Charlotte, end of April.
Shout-outs, Wilbon. Go ahead. Got anything?
Yeah, BWI in Baltimore, the U.S. Air Gate. Can you have a gate ready? The major airlines like to make you wait 45 minutes now if you get there early. Can you have a gate, please?
We're taking a break. There's more PTI to come, including a Jamie Grubbs update.
Late flight from Phoenix. You know which flight I'm talking about. Have a gate. Back in a few minutes. Until then, SportsCenter.
Good night, Canada. Get well soon, Ed. Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Wilbon, the Stanley Cup is pretty cool. But is it the coolest award in all of sports?
Well, Tony, you know, maybe. I mean, some of these awards aren't cool. They're cool to win. Don't get me wrong. We like to have one. A Lombardi trophy, a Larry O'Brien trophy. I had the World Cup is kind of cool, but it's so tiny.
Oh, it's tiny.
You could lose it.
It's tiny.
You could, like, leave it in a pocket and go to the dry cleaner. So that's sort of dangerous. The Wimbledon plate, I mean, that's sort of cool if you're going to eat pizza off of it, but people don't usually do that, it seems. I like the green jacket. I like the Phil Mickelson a few days ago drove through the Krispy Kreme in the green jacket. The thing is, with the cup, with the Stanley Cup, which I have squeezed and taken pictures with and all of that stuff, you could, like, fill it with your favorite beverage and dunk the donut that Phil got in the green jacket.
Yeah.
So maybe it is the coolest.
The green jacket is very good because it's also functional. First of all, everybody knows it means you won a Masters because nobody else would buy a coat like that. Two, if you go to a fancy place like the prime rib and they got a jackets only rule, you got the green jacket in the trunk of your car. So it's very good in that regard. The reason that people love the Stanley Cup is because you can carry it around. You can do stuff with it. You can drink out of it. Whatever you want to do.
Right.
But if they made the baseball trophy or the football trophy or the basketball trophy, if they made it portable, it might be just as cool. For me personally, I don't care about it. I would like to have a $500,000 check. I would like to have that and a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
I knew we were going to get Johnny Walker.
And these things would make me happier than a trophy.
The thing I don't understand about the cup is, Tony, people treat it as a bedpan. And yet,
that's the guys
who carry it around put on white gloves.
It's odd.
Tell me the sense that that makes.
Doesn't work. Dichotomy there. 1 minute left and we go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The top-seeded Sharks lost last night to the Avalanche. Is there cause for concern?
Yeah, they're at it again. The Sharks lost last season. But you know, top seeds guaranteed nothing in the cup final, in the cup playoffs. The Brownies reportedly talking to the Rams about trading up for that top pick to get Sam Bradford. Is that a good idea?
Very good idea. They don't have a quarterback right now. Steph Curry had 42 in the last game of his rookie season. Enough to make him Rookie of the Year?
I can't make up my mind. He and Tyreek Evans should share that award. Split it. Jeff Garcia says he has been in touch with the Eagles. No offer is imminent, though. You think they'll sign him?
Their move is they get Feely and then they get him. That's their move. Tracy McGrady says if his knee does not respond this summer, he'll retire. Your thoughts?
I want his knee to respond because I don't want Tracy McGrady to retire this year. Too great a player. Tiger mistress Jamie Grubbs arrested for driving on a suspended license. Your thoughts?
I bet she's got the phone number of somebody with enough cash to bail her out.
Oh.
Last one, Brett Favre gave Wrangler jeans to all of his teammates. Don't you like that gesture?
Jeans?
Jeans.
That's all you got, Brett? Come on, big
jeans.
Boy. How about a watch or a car?
We're
or
out of
SUV?
Time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. Check out the PTI podcast on iTunes, dude. Let's go back to
Mark Andre Fleury. Go to your room and practice.
PTI.